The Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him that recompense should be made to him? For from him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The Gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today on Trinity Sunday, we celebrate the most fundamental of all the mysteries of the faith. That is, the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And in this, we contemplate the mystery of the three in one. There are three persons in one God. There's three persons. Now, this we can understand pretty easily because we can think about three individuals, three human persons, and we can see the three persons of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also there is something more there. There's a unity. There is one God only, though. There is one God with three persons. Now, the person is the thing that does something. Any mother with multiple children can identify with this. She can ask, "Who spilt the milk?" And it's very clear. There has to be a person who actually did it. Was it Timmy? Was it Susie? Or was it Johnny? There's only three that could have done it. Three different people. People are what do things. And this is how we can understand the Trinity, because in the Trinity there are three persons and they do different things. However, unlike humans, three different humans, there is a unity there, the unity of essence, the unity of will. There is one God and he has three persons. And so we can see this in all his operations. So God willed that he become man, that the second person of the Trinity become incarnate. So at the Annunciation, we see the same thing. There's this intention, this will, that then is carried out with the three individual persons, each doing something different. And so at the Incarnation, the angel announces to Mary that she'll be the mother of our Lord. She asks, "How can this be?" And the angel says, "By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." So we have all three people there. With the power of the Holy Spirit actually doing the miracle here of the Incarnation, it is the Son, the second person of the Trinity, who becomes incarnate. And then God the Father is actually represented by the angel, because the angel isn't speaking on his own authority. He isn't the one who figured this out or decided this, but he was sent by God the Father. So this is God the Father basically announcing it to Mary. So we have all three persons of the Trinity there doing that one action, that is the Incarnation. Three in one. And so we also see this in our redemption and sanctification. For from our Lord's death, resurrection, ascension, and then also the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have this one action. Now, it's taken place over a number of months historically, but it was one action that all three persons did for our sanctification, for our salvation and sanctification. So Christ suffered upon the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and then at his ascension, which we celebrated 2 weeks ago, he said, "I will send you another advocate." And that is the Holy Spirit, who then at Pentecost comes down upon the apostles, which is the birthday of the church. So God made man, did these actions so that we could be sanctified. We could be saved and sanctified. And so it is quite fortuitous, actually it's quite providential, that on this day, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, we now have this beautiful window that was installed on Friday. Someone asked me, "Father, did you plan it this way, that the Trinity window would come in just for this Sunday?" I have to say, be honest, it was not my plan at all. I think it was someone else's plan, but it was not my plan. And so we have the Trinity depicted in the window, and it's actually not an original depiction. It's a famous depiction. There's a couple different ways that it's depicted, but in our way, it is actually the same as on the cover of the Red Missal. If you notice, there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit on the cover of the little missalettes, and it's in the same type of depiction as here. And that is, we have Christ upon the cross there in the center. This is a crucifixion scene. And then we have God the Father, and his hands are under the arms of the cross. Now, some people sometimes think, well, that's the Father supporting Christ. And we can think of that. That's a bit sentimental, and it's actually a good spiritual devotion to think of it that way. But the reality is that it is God the Father receiving the sacrifice of the Son. So, remember, we have three persons here. The Son is both priest and victim. He sacrifices himself. Who does he sacrifice himself to? To whom is the Mass being offered? It's offered to God the Father. So God the Father receives the sacrifice of the Son, and that action then permits the, or at least I shouldn't say permits, then they send the Holy Spirit to us. And so we have the dove then there in front of the two of them, and he is coming down, and there is the rays of light which are coming down, which represent the graces, which are then given to us. And specifically here, since this is right over the altar, if you notice, the rays of light are going right down on the altar. Because what happens on the altar is a representation of what happened over those 3 months, 4 months, with our Lord's passion, death, resurrection, ascension, and then the Holy Spirit coming for graces. We offer the Mass. It's a representation of the sacrifice, but doesn't just end on Good Friday. We pray for graces, and we receive graces through the Mass. And so this whole center mystery of our faith is being represented here on the altar, and it is mystically represented in our window. Now, we need to remember that, I guess I should also mention that God the Father is depicted with a triangular halo. So that's a traditional depiction of him in order to show that it's God the Father and not some other saint, that's the Father there. And so when we look at this window, we can think also, maybe not that it just be completely static, but there is motion there, because Christ offered himself upon the cross 20 centuries ago, but he continues that offering even today. And so at every Mass, that offering is made. So we can even imagine there's some motion there, that God the Father is actually receiving that sacrifice. Of course, he receives it throughout all time. So he's always receiving it. So we can almost imagine the cross going up into the arms of the Father, and then with that, the Holy Spirit then descending down towards us with rays of light. So we can use our imagination to help contemplate this mystery. Now, this is a mystery. This is something that we will contemplate here in our life and throughout all eternity. We have three persons, and they all do something different. And yet, they are united in one thing, and that is our sanctification, to reunite us, to make us one with God. And it happens here upon the altar. This is why it's fitting that this window is above the altar. And so the priest, of course, who is in the person of Christ, somehow uses the priest, this voice, this body, in order to present again the sacrifice here. And you yourself, when you're present, you unite yourself to that sacrifice, and you offer it to God. Of course, we require the sacramental priesthood in order for it to occur. And then we're united to the offering to the Father, and it is acceptable to him. And then through our prayers, then the Holy Spirit also descends and gives grace as we can intercede for ourselves or others. And we want to make sure that we understand that it's not just by our power, it's our power, our prayers, united, of course, to Christ. So in the Holy Trinity, then, we have this great mystery, many mysteries of the faith, but the greatest of it is, of course, our redemption here, which is presented in our new window. So today, on the Feast of the Holy Trinity, let us unite ourselves to Christ upon the cross and offer to the Father his sacrifice so that the Holy Spirit would come into our lives and, of course, come into the lives of our loved ones and our family, friends, and also our nation to pour down graces into the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.